Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all. Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all. Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we bring you another episode of our program Perished Kings of the Past. And again today, we've brought another very interesting topic for you, very informative and instructive topic from which inshallah azawajal we'll learn a lot, and inshallah azawajal beautiful pearls of wisdom we will learn in relation to those who oppress others, who tyrannize others, who although have rule at one time, but then at the end of the day they depart this world. So inshallah azawajal we'll learn immense amount of knowledge and we'll develop a beautiful mindset as well inshallah azawajal at the end of the episode in order to stay away from oppression. Before going into today's discussion, let's first of all enlighten our hearts by listening to the virtue of sending salutations upon the noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam humbly said to me that Allah Azzawajal said, O Muhammad, are you not pleased with the fact that when your ummati, your follower, sends salam upon you once, I send salam upon him tenfold? So dear viewers of Madani Channel, we come to know that he who sends salam upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam once, Allah Almighty sends salam upon him tenfold. Beautiful excellence again, which highlights the importance of sending salutations upon the noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So we should also ensure that we recite salam and salutations upon the prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, on 20th Zilqa'dah 549 Hijri, a boy was born to a person called Maysuqa, and the name of this boy was kept as Temujin. Maysuqa was considered as the leader of his tribe and he belonged to a Mongol tribe, to a Tatari family. Now Maysuqa, he was Tatari, and Temujin, his son, he became the king of the Mongols. Temujin was only 13 years old when his father Maysuqa, he died, he passed away. So the tribe collectively agreed to appoint his 13 years old child Temujin as the king of the tribe. However, some people there rebelled against him and they did not agree with this decision of him becoming the king because of his young age, because of him being too young. So as they rebelled against him, they also tried to kill him. And Temujin, he, as soon as he found an opportunity, he fled his tribe, he ran away from there to a friend of his father who also was the king of a tribe. So Temujin succeeded in saving his life. And dear viewers of Madani Channel, these Mongol tribes, they had many ill traits within them. They were thieves, robbers and mischievous people. That was the reason why many other tribes were also fed up of these Mongol tribes. Now one night, Temujin, he was asleep and he saw a dream. And the dream was quite strange dream that he saw. He saw that he has two swords in both his hands and one of his hands is in the east and the other hand is in the west. Temujin woke up quite worried and he kept thinking over his dream that what kind of dream it was. So in the morning, He goes to his mother and relays the entire dream to her. And he says to her that, I saw a dream last night that I have two swords in both my hands, and one of my hands is in the east and the other one is in the west. Now, the mother of Temujin was also astonished. He was lost in astonishment, and she realized the fact that my son, he will become an embodiment of impression, a mountain of impression and tyranny upon the people of the east and the west. And she also started to believe in the foretelling of people that people told her upon the birth of Temujin. They foretold her that the son of yours, who's just been born, he will shed blood and lead to massacre of people. He will behead people and shed their blood as if it is nothing. It wouldn't mean anything to him. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, time kept passing, and the leader of a nearby tribe, he invaded the tribe of Temujin. And up until now, Temujin had sought refuge in the other tribe, in the tribe of the friend of his father. And because this tribe had no king, it had no leader, so the king, the leader of a nearby tribe, he invaded this tribe of Temujin. And that king was called Altun Khan. He attacked the tribe and family of Temujin. They robbed and stole stuff over there and then returned back to their tribe. Now the people of this tribe, the tribe of Temujin, they were quite worried as to what had happened to them. And they were worried over the fact that they don't have a leader at that moment of time. So they consulted each other and decided who should be the next leader of the tribe. So all of those people unanimously agreed to appoint Temujin as the leader of their tribe. So Temujin now became the leader of the tribe. And that was through a unanimous consent of all the people of the tribe. Now, after becoming the king, Temujin, he took a promise from every single person of the tribe that you will obey me, you will follow me, whatever I say. If I say that a father has to kill his son, then the father will have to obey me. And if I say that the son has to slaughter his father, then even the son will have to obey me. Now, the people of his tribe, they were so foolish and strange people that they agreed to accept this strange and brutal demand of Temujin. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, one day, a person came to Temujin and said to him that, I saw a person on a red horse wearing red clothing, and he instructed me to come to you and tell you to change your name from Temujin to Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan, as we say in English. Therefore, Temujin, he changed his name to Genghis Khan, Genghis Khan. Genghis is a Turkish word which means the king. So from here onwards, previously known as Temujin, he started to become famous with the name of Genghis Khan, Genghis Khan in the history. And everyone pretty much know him as Genghis Khan, as Genghis Khan instead of Temujin. And he was so brutal and so tyrant that the person who brought this news to him, he even killed him. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, over here, Genghis Khan, he was burning in the fire of revenge. He wanted to take revenge from Altun Khan as he massacred his people and looted his tribe. And he thought to himself that I will do the same to the tribe of Altun Khan as he did to my tribe. So he started recruiting young people in his army. War weaponry was gathered and the young warriors were being trained for the war. A great fierce army was formed and Genghis Khan was ready to fight Altun Khan after forming a fierce army. Altun Khan was also aware of Genghis Khan's tactics and intentions. So he appointed 30,000 soldiers at checkpoints through which Genghis Khan and his troops were to pass by. Since he also was a king and had appointed wisest of people with him, hence he was also fully prepared for everything. Genghis Khan, he sent his ambassador, whose name was Jafar, to Altun Khan to acquire whether he was to fight or reconcile. When this ambassador Jafar, he reached Altun Khan, listening to him, Altun Khan, he became furious. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, remember that in those days, there were certain principles in place in regards to how to treat ambassadors. There were certain securities that were provided to the ambassadors of the other kings. However, Altun Khan ignored all these and captured Jafar, and he imprisoned him. On the other hand, as Jafar had still not reached back Genghis Khan, so Genghis Khan spoke to his ministers saying that, "I wonder how Jafar has been treated as he still has not reached us back." However, Jafar himself was also very clever, cunning and deceiving. So he succeeded in escaping the prison of Altun Khan and returned back to Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan was extremely happy to see his wise and intelligent ambassador being back with him. But Jafar told him about everything that he went through and how Altun Khan tortured him in the prison and how he violated the principles of giving securities to the other ambassadors. Moreover, he also told Genghis Khan that there is no scope of reconciliation and Altun Khan wants to have a war with you. Listening to the intentions of Altun Khan, Genghis Khan became extremely furious and ordered for all the people of the Mongol tribe to gather by a mountain. Moreover, he said that men will separate from women and no one will be allowed to eat or drink anything. In fact, animals will also be kept away from their parents and they won't be allowed to be fed either. For 3 days, they prepared a specific type of food which was called Tungri. And after 3 days, Genghis Khan came out of his tent and said that Tungri made me victorious. And after this, Genghis Khan ordered his army to attack Altun Khan, to invade the tribe of Altun Khan. So the army of Genghis Khan left from there like hungry wolves to attack, to invade the army of Altun Khan. As they left to attack and invade Altun Khan, whichever area or tribe they would pass by, it would come in the way, they would shed blood there and loot everything over there. While spreading this terror, they kept advancing towards the army of Altun Khan. In a way, this army of Genghis Khan had become a symbol of death. This is how they were recognized by other people. Whatever area or tribe they would go to, they would kill people over there and turn it desolated. They would ruin it completely. Now, this army of Genghis Khan, it arrived at the city of Altun Khan. Hence, they laid a siege around the city. Every supply and provision of everything was stopped from being transported within the city. Now, one issue that this army faced was to enter the city, as the city was guarded through very highly built walls. Now, the army of Genghis Khan was very brave and very skillful army. So the brave and experienced soldiers of the army of Genghis Khan, they attacked a high wall on one side of the city and made some room for rest of the army to enter the city. As the entire city was guarded with high walls, so what they did was they made a big hole by attacking one high wall at one side of the city and made some room for the rest of the army to enter the city. Now, Genghis Khan's army had entered the city of Altun Khan and they had started to rob and loot everything. There was a fear amongst people such that they were screaming out of fear. Everyone was being massacred and butchered. Altun Khan fled from there to save his own life. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, after conquering the tribe of Altun Khan, Genghis Khan, had established his rule over many other areas as well. He kept very good terms with the ruler of Persia, Sultan Khwarizm Shah. They both established a treaty with each other that trading caravans will keep coming and going between our states. Therefore, trade and economy prospered in both these regions. However, the ruler of Persia, he intended to attack Baghdad. Sayyiduna Sheikh Shahabuddin Sohrawardi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he stopped Sultan Khwarizm from attacking Baghdad. He told Sultan Khwarizm not to attack Baghdad. But Sultan Khwarizm, he disrespected Sayyiduna Shahabuddin Sohrawardi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, uttered inappropriate words against him, and further oppressively and brutally martyred another wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyiduna Majduddin rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Now, Sayyiduna Najmuddin Kubra rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, another great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to Sultan Khwarizm that what you have just done, its punishment is your execution. There will be bloodshed in this city, meaning in the city of yours. And on the other hand, Sayyiduna Shahabuddin Sohrawardi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh had already supplicated against him that, O Allah, make oppressors rule over them, rule over the Persian Empire, rule over Sultan Khwarizm. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, due to disrespecting the awliya, Sultan Khwarizm fell prey to many, many different types of problems. Things went out of his control when Sultan Khwarizm arrested 4,000 traders of Genghis Khan and blamed them of being spies and then executed them, killed them. Because remember the treaty between Genghis Khan and Sultan Khwarizm, that there would be trade between both the regions. So this trade was going on with Sultan Khwarizm. He captured 400 traders of Genghis Khan. Not only that, he blamed them of being spies and then executed them. He killed them. Now, when Genghis Khan found out about this, he sent his delegate to Sultan Khwarizm. And he conveyed his message through him that he who killed over 400 traders, hand him over to us. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, Sultan Khwarizm, he refused to hand that person over to Genghis Khan. And on top of this, what he did was that he also killed this delegate, this ambassador of Genghis Khan as well. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, Genghis Khan, he ordered his commander-in-chief to get his army ready and attack. Genghis Khan's army was ready to attack. The announcement of war was made, and the fierce army of Genghis Khan invaded the army of Khwarizm, attacked the army of Khwarizm. They attacked so swiftly, so fiercely, and so bravely that the army of Sultan Khwarizm faced a defeat. Sultan Khwarizm, he ran away. He fled in order to save his own life. The army of Genghis Khan carried out a great massacre, a great bloodshed over there. They killed everyone, whether it was young, old, child, or a woman. They shed everyone's blood and destroyed the kingdom of Khwarizm. It has also been narrated that Genghis Khan even killed the family of Khwarizm. So Khwarizm even left behind his family just for the sake of his own life. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, this was also the outcome of the supplication of Sayyiduna Sheikh Shahabuddin Sohrawardi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and that of Sayyiduna Najmuddin Kubra rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. That, what did they say? That, O Allah Almighty, make oppressors rule over them. And Najmuddin Kubra rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh supplicated that there will be bloodshed in your city. And both these du'as of Shahabuddin Sohrawardi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh and Najmuddin Kubra rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh came true. Not only were they ruled by an oppressor, meaning Genghis Khan, but there was a great massacre and bloodshed also caused over there in the shape of Genghis Khan wiping off people over there, killing them and carrying out the massacre. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, in 617 Hijri, Genghis Khan carried a great massacre and bloodshed in Samarkand, Bukhara, Herat, and some other areas. Genghis Khan's army was brutal, merciless, and ruthless, but at the same time, same was the state of their women as well. Their women would forcefully enter people's houses, they would rob and loot them, and no one had the courage of stopping them or doing anything against them. When Genghis Khan attacked Bukhara in 617 Hijri, 5,000 men were captured and tied in chains, and he ordered for women to be slaughtered. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, there's a very beautiful twist over here. What is that twist? That there was one woman who killed 30 Tataris, 30 Mongols she killed. That woman was captured alive and brought to Genghis Khan. When Genghis Khan looked at her, he was shocked, he was surprised, and he said to her, "Oh, what are you doing over here? Who was this woman who made Genghis Khan to fall in such state of shock and astonishment?" This woman was the wife of the friend of Genghis Khan's father, to whom he fled in his childhood in order to save his own life. You remember, in the beginning of our episode, we mentioned the fact that other people of his tribe, they rebelled against him and tried to kill him. Why? Because they didn't agree for him to become the king. So he fled to the tribe of his father's friend, and they protected him, they saved him. And this very woman also welcomed him and played a vital role in bringing him up. So this was the same woman who killed 30 of their people. And Genghis Khan, he was shocked to see her. But dear viewers of Madani Channel, Genghis Khan was so ruthless, was so brutal, so merciless, that despite knowing the fact that this is that woman who looked after me, who protected me, who has a vital role in bringing me up, despite all these things, he buried alive this woman along with her three sons. This was the state of his tyranny and his ruthlessness. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, in Bukhara, Genghis Khan set madaris ablaze. He set them on fire. Those madaris where the Quran was recited, where the teachings of the Prophet were taught, Genghis Khan violated its honor and set those madaris ablaze, set those madaris on fire. The chests in which the Quran were placed, Genghis Khan and his army, they used the same chests to put the fodder of their horses in there. Ma'adallah. But dear viewers of Madani Channel, he who disrespected the Holy Quran, he who disrespected the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he faced a dreadful end. He faced such an end that he became a sign for the coming generations. His signs were wiped away from the face of this earth. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, after all this, after all these tyrannies and oppressions, the last days of Genghis Khan had approached. Every evil has an end. Every evil has an end. Carrying his attacks, when Genghis Khan reached Damghal and Tankat, he sent a message of peace and friendship to their ruler, Tungri Khan. And in a way, he deceived him and included him in his army as well. But Tungri Khan, on the other hand, he had realized the intentions of Genghis Khan, that when the time comes, he will kill me as well. When Genghis Khan issued the orders of killing Tungri Khan, he said that after killing me, if something white appears in my blood, then realize the fact, know that Genghis Khan would die 3 days after that. Genghis Khan didn't pay any attention to this, and he mocked him, he ridiculed him, and ignored what he said, and ordered the executor to behead Tungri Khan. When Tungri Khan was beheaded, something white did actually appear from his blood. This fact was told to Genghis Khan, who came running to the body of Tungri Khan and saw something white coming from the blood of Tungri Khan. Seeing this frightened Genghis Khan, and he couldn't believe his eyes, as to what he had just seen. However, dear viewers of Madani Channel, right after 3 days, the heart of Chinggis Khan tore apart, and he also met his disgraceful and painful end. He died right after 3 days of beheading of Tungri Khan. Chinggis Khan, he died at the age of 73 after spending 25 years shedding blood and carrying out massacre on a huge level. According to his will, he was buried in a dense jungle by a huge tree. But just within a short span of time, even the signs of his grave were wiped away from the face of this earth. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, a brutal and ruthless king, Chinggis Khan, also met his dreadful end after carrying out massacre and bloodshed at a great level. He invaded different lands and he killed people all around the places. He didn't show any mercy towards children or women or elderly whoever came in front of him. He butchered them just like vegetables and fruits. But at the end of the day, what happened? This cruel person also met his end. He was very arrogant at one time that he is the ruler, he is the king, and kept carrying out that bloodshed wherever he went. But then his oppression, his brutalities, his tyrannies all came to an end. All came to an end. And this accursed and brutal person, this perished king of the past, became a sign of mourning for everyone. Today again, people, if they read about him, if they know about him, they know him as a tyrant king, as a perished king of the past, from whose life story people try to learn a lesson. And they have no respect for him, no honor for him. They have no dignity in their heart for him. If they remember him, it is with detestness. It is with despise, with hatred. And they try to relay his accounts in order to teach people and in order to learn a lesson from his life story. May Allah Almighty keep us away from those who spread oppression, who spread tyrannies. And may Allah Almighty keep us amongst his chosen servants who attain his pleasure in this world and in the hereafter. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all. Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all. Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all.